Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Property Podcast. It's a market update. We have it every month, but it's special this month because it's a budget special. We've just had the budget. What does that mean for you as a property investor or an aspiring property investor? Well, you're about to find out. Plus, there's plenty more happening in the property market right now that you need to be aware of. So all of that is coming up.
Welcome to the Property Podcast, where every Thursday morning, property investors come to be informed and inspired. Yes, we've just had the budget. Always nervy times for property investors. What did the Chancellor have in store for us? Well, keep listening and you'll find out. And stick around to the end for Hub Extra, where we've got a book recommendation for you as well. But first, Rob, before we get into the big property news of the month, we've got some news of our own.
Massive news. Forget the budget. This is what it's all about. Well, it feels like it for us anyway. Portfolio is so close to being launched that we're putting you on high alert. The countdown is on the verge of starting. So keep an eye on our socials. Of course, we'll tell you in the podcast when it goes live. But if you want to see the exact date it's going to happen, follow the countdown for it happening, then check out our social channels. It's the Property Hub channels. We'll be keeping you updated there on Instagram and everywhere else. But if you've not joined the waiting list yet, then go to portfolio.co.uk and join the waiting list there. Rob, it's a budget special. Normally, we're a bit nervous leading up to a budget. So let's look at what's happening for property investors or aspiring property investors in this budget. And by the end of it, we'll be able to decide what type of budget it is for property investors. So let's just run through it all, not in order of importance, but there's a reasonable amount to cover. So let's start with no capital gains tax increases. That's a win, Rob. I mean, no change in tax normally for property investors is classed as a win. We do not expect reductions, but just keeping it the same these days feels good.
Yeah, this was the real shock from this budget. There was not only not the bad news that was widely anticipated, which was an increase in capital gains tax, because it was widely anticipated that taxes would need to go up to pay for all the COVID measures that have been in place. But no, not only did that not happen, there was some good news around tax for property investors. What? No, not that they've been cut. That would be too much to hope for. But the deadline for paying a capital gains tax after you've sold a property has been extended from 30 days to 60 days. So that's not exactly blockbuster good news, but it's helpful and most notable for just not being bad news. So a great result on CGT there, but there were other property related announcements as well, Rob.
Yeah, a big one, and it probably falls into the category of, and about time too, is the £5 billion fund to help remove unsafe cladding across buildings across the UK. Many people, whether the property investors or just people who live in the properties, have been affected by the cladding issue since Grenfell. And people have been unable to remortgage their properties. People have been unable to sell the properties because of this. And the government is finally putting some decent funds towards that to help the problem. Now, the detail isn't there yet, but how it's going to be funded is, which is a new residential property developers tax, which will fund the cladding work, and it's for developers with profits over 25 million, and they'll be taxed at an additional 4%. So that tax will then go and help all those people who've been affected by the cladding issue. So the quicker this is rolled out, the better, but it's pleasing, Rob, that finally something has been done.
Yes, indeed. And the other big property announcement in the budget was a fund of $24 billion to build 180,000 affordable homes on brownfield sites. And $16 billion of that spending is going to be outside London, which is a theme with this government who are wanting to level the playing field a bit and not just splash all the cash at London, which is what's historically been done.
Now, forgive me, Rob. This is where the cynical part of me comes in. I love the announcement. I think it's great. And hopefully it is delivered upon. But how many times have we recorded budget episodes over the years now, talked about new targets around housing, and then nothing ever happens? Remember George Osborne's garden towns and cities that were going to be popping up all across the country? Well, I still do, and I haven't seen any yet. So the big plans around house building, there always seems to be big announcements around homes being built, but very little actually built. So hopefully this time's different.
Yeah, if you added up all the homes that had been promised in all the budgets since we've been doing this podcast, the whole country would be paved over. You wouldn't be able to move for new houses and we'd have five each, but that's not the case. And I had actually forgotten about those garden cities. That didn't go so well, did it? But we will see if this time it's different. But whether it does or not, that's it, Rob. There's nothing else to say about the budget. And the fact that there was that little in there and no bad news for property investors at all, that is a massive win.
Yeah, that is a win. No news is good news. It's an old saying, but it's a saying for a reason. And when it comes to a budget, it very much is true for property investors. Let's face it. And, you know, over the last decade, we've taken a battering, and a quiet budget is a good budget. So very happy with that. Overall, the budget was quite quiet. I think it was interesting that the government finally acknowledged that inflation was rising. And next year, they've said it could be as high as 4%, which they seem comfortable with. Now, we've talked about inflation through many of our economic-focused podcasts, and we'll do a dedicated episode to inflation in the not-too-distant future, because it's so important to understand how it impacts your wealth, and we'll look at how it does and also what to expect in the future. So look out for that probably in the new year, but that's one to look forward to.
Let's move on from the budget to something that is happening today, as in the 4th of November, if you're listening to the pod on the day it comes out, which is that the Bank of England Monetary Policy Committee is getting together for its decision on interest rates. So the base rate is currently languishing at 0.1%. But as a result of the inflation that you just mentioned, Rob, everyone seems to believe that they are going to be raising that rate, and the markets are pricing in a 0.15% rise. So we can cover this in our news segment next week if it happens. But do you think it will happen, Rob? What's your prediction on this?
I'm not going to be making a prediction, especially as people will be able to find out quite quickly whether I was right or wrong. And usually our predictions are long term, so people can forget about what we've said. All I'll say is I wouldn't be surprised if it went up by 0.15%, because that would take us to 0.25 overall, which I don't think will spook anybody. It's what happens from that point onwards that I think is going to be really interesting. If it doesn't happen now, it'll happen soon. And I think the real story is what happens next. So, of course, we'll keep you updated and give you our thoughts on it as well, and what you potentially can expect next year.
Well, that was a slightly disappointing cop-out, Rob. But fair enough, I wouldn't want to make a prediction where I could be proven wrong on the same day either. But lenders don't have that option. And some lenders have raised their mortgage rates in anticipation of this happening. So there's a story in the FT showing major lenders, including NatWest and Santander, increasing rates or temporarily pulling products to see what happens. So this will be a really interesting one to watch if indeed the base rate is increased, as in to what extent do lenders end up passing on that increase? Because for the last year, there has been a bit of a mortgage war. We've had not only a low base rate, but we've had a property boom. And lenders want to have their piece of that property boom. They make their money when they lend. And so they've been in competition with each other. And we've seen mortgage rates come very, very, very low. There's even been a couple of buy-to-let products with rates below 1%, which is just absolutely mad. Never happened before. But if the base rate does go up, does that mean that the era of super duper ultra cheap mortgages is over, or will competition among lenders continue to keep rates down? It's going to be a really interesting one to watch.
Something else we're all interested in watching is house prices, and Home Track reports deliver their report monthly, so it's always convenient for the market update. And it's interesting to note that Liverpool still tops the chart, but is in double digit growth for the year, where it currently stands at 10.4%. closely followed by Manchester and Sheffield, who aren't quite in double-digit territory yet, but are on their way to it, it seems. So that's the top of the table. At the bottom of the table, it's the usual suspects. Aberdeen still down there, still in negative territory, which is incredible, actually, when you consider what's happened this year. And London just above, which has seen some growth, but when you take into account inflation, it's actually not grown at all, in real terms anyway. But the great thing about this time of year, Rob, is that people start to make their predictions for the upcoming year around what they expect for property prices. And of course, we'll be doing ours soon, so you can look forward to that. And something we do that no one else seems to be brave enough to do is actually look back at what we predicted at the beginning of this year. So that's one to look forward to, Rob. But to keep us entertained, in the meantime, we've got other price predictions starting to come in for 2022.
Yeah, Zoopla are among the first to go. They are predicting that house prices are going to rise by 3% in 2022. And that's pretty attuned with the summary at the top of the Home Track report that we just talked about, which is where they say there's no sign of any cliff edge in demand. The impact of the pandemic has further to run, albeit at a less frenetic pace. So that seems to be what Zoopla is saying here. Price growth is going to continue, but it's not going to be as bonkers as it's been this year. Conveniently, though, it is rather easy to go onto the Zoopla website and see what they predicted for the current year to see how much weight we want to put in their predictions. So I would point out that they said that in 2021, there would be 1.1 million transactions, and there's actually going to be over 1.5. So they're getting on for 50% out there. And they also said that price growth in 2021 would be 1%. And it's been a little bit higher than that, as we know.
I think that's what you call an oopsie, don't you, Rob?
So, yeah, recent track record, not stellar. So you can decide for yourself how much stock you want to put in that 3% prediction for next year.
We've also got predictions in from the Office of Budget Responsibility, or OBR, and they have predicted growth of 3.2% this year. Now, of course, they also don't put their previous forecasts in their press releases, so we've kindly gone back and looked. And, Rob, kind of mixed results. We could be cruel and just tell them what they predicted for this year, which was they expected property prices to fall by 3%, so massively out. Although they did say in 2022 that then they would recover and grow by 9%. So they were wrong on their timing, but they did predict that property prices would recover eventually. So not a disastrous prediction. Disastrous if you just consider what they said would happen this year, if it couldn't be more wrong. But overall, I think we can give them a pass. A C grade, maybe, for their prediction?
Yeah, I think they're scraping that one. Certainly better than Zeepler, but that is a low bar. But like you said, we will be talking about predictions a lot more over the next couple of months, and we will be reviewing our own and being just as harsh on ourselves as we are on others. For now, though, let's move on to rents and what's happening now, not what will happen in the future. And whatever happens with our price predictions, this is something we've actually got right. We've said quite consistently and from early on that the city centre rental demand, which obviously absolutely cratered when COVID happened, would only be temporary. We've talked about a story recently that demonstrated a rebound happening in London, but there's data out now as well showing this happening in city centres across the country. So to pick a couple of examples, in Birmingham, city centre rents fell by 5% between February 2020 and February 2021. But since then, between February and September this year, they've increased and they're now 10% higher than they were before the pandemic. Similar in Nottingham, where the impact wasn't so severe, city centre rents fell by 2%, but they're now 11% higher than they were before the pandemic. And this is a pattern across city centres. Same in Manchester as well, 4% higher than they were before the pandemic. It's only Coventry and Edinburgh where they're lower. Edinburgh, presumably, a lot of that is related to tourism as well, because there are a lot of short lets that presumably have gone on to the long-term let market. So, Rob, we saw this one coming. Even I'm surprised by the speed at which that has happened, not just the recovery in rents, but the fact that in so many cases, they're double digits higher than they were. Not just a double digit rebound, but double digits higher than they were before COVID was even in the picture.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. It's been an incredible turnaround story. And even though we said it would happen, it's absolutely surpassed what we thought would happen, without doubt. I think it's worth saying, and Rob will be interested to hear your opinion on this, so get you to make a prediction as well. But I don't think it's going to continue at the pace it's going at the moment. I think we should all be grateful that it's bounced back to the level that it has and where it's got to. I think the recovery's been phenomenal to watch, but I don't think it's going to continue to surge at those levels, even with inflation rising as it is right now. I'm not saying that it's going to fall, but I don't think it's going to run at the rate it is at the moment. But what do you think?
No, I don't think so either. I think we've probably seen a lot of it already. There's potentially a bit further to go because the return to offices is still happening, and sort of the return to social life is still happening. And this was kind of the big part of my thesis about why I thought they'd come back. It's like the shift towards city centres has been happening for decades for reasons. People haven't been forced into city centres, and remote work has been on the increase for a long time now. Yet people want to live in city centres for reasons, and those reasons had gone away temporarily but would come back, and that's what's happening. So I think there may be further to go, but I think the lesson to come from this is the power of narratives, and that you have to be so careful around these narratives. For a year, all we heard was no one wants to live in city centres anymore. It's over. People have changed what they want. They want more space. The office is over and all this. And that's turned out to not necessarily be untrue, but been a little bit overblown. On a similar theme, there's another story here about the rental market in Manchester, which says that fewer than 500 flats are available to rent in Manchester. And if you think 500 sounds like a lot, it's not. That's a tiny, tiny number to be available in a city of Manchester's size. There's lots of demand and not enough supply. And again, Rob, the narrative that we were hearing for years was there's overbuilding in Manchester. All these new flats are going up. This is crazy. Why are they doing that? There's never going to be the demand for this. It's all vanity projects and profiteering developers and blah, blah, blah. Lo and behold, the market's absorbed all of it and can absorb more.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. People who predicted that, though, it's just lazy predictions. It's kind of coming to a conclusion based on some common sense principles. You know, if you build a lot of something, you're going to have too much, but without actually looking at the story behind it. But then with those stories, people then just pick them up and start repeating it, even though they've not looked at any depth behind the arguments for are there too many apartments being built in Manchester. And also the same with, oh, city centres are dead and they're never going to come back. People just start repeating each other's stories until they become the herd. And for me, with any investment related story, once that herd are all saying the same thing in unison, that's when I really want to investigate the opposite. Because often when people are saying one thing in unison, there's opportunity in the other direction. But to focus on Manchester, yeah, it's a powerhouse of a city. It's only growing in strength. It really is becoming the capital of the North. And I am from Liverpool, so trust me, that's not easy to say. It might not be for football, but economically it is the capital of the North. So Manchester's got a long way to run yet. And Rob, there must be an error with this last story, but it's not April 1st. But it says, landlords to be helped by new COVID arrears fund. What, landlords being helped? What's going on?
I know. If you wanted proof that everything's upside down and back to front, not only did we not get any bad news in the budget, but there's good news for landlords in that a £65 million debt fund has been produced by the government to help landlords whose tenants are arrears due to COVID. And this is a scheme that's going to be operated by local authorities, with the money being given directly to the landlord or the letting agent who's been affected. Now, £65 million's not a lot when you look at the estimate of the arrears that are out there, and it's a little bit late because Scotland and Wales have had schemes like this in place for months already. But I'm not knocking it. The fact that the government has done something to help landlords in England is really quite extraordinary. And what more of a high to leave our market update on. It's been an eventful month, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty more to talk about when we come back and do our market update in a month's time.
But before you scoot off, we've got a Hub Extra for you. Yes, we always want to give you more. And remember, this is all backed up by our Hub Extra email that goes to every Hubber on the Property Hub website. Yes, if you would like the newsletter that we aim to make the most valuable newsletter that you receive in your inbox each and every week, go to propertyhub.net, sign up for free. You'll then be able to access all the courses, all the videos, go into the forum, and of course, you'll get this wonderful newsletter. But not content with that, we want to give you some more in the podcast as well. And this week is a book recommendation. And I'm on a bit of a book surge as I get towards the end of the year and really trying to get myself into the habit of consuming more books. There was a part of the year where I kind of got out the habit, but I'm pleased I have got back into the swing of things with books because I've got a great one for you. It's a book on leadership. And leadership comes in many different ways. Of course, I look at it from a business point of view and what I do within Property Hub and Portfolio. But leadership is present in so many different ways. And the reason I'm recommending this book, which is called Taking People With You by David Novak, is that, first of all, this is from a guy who's been there and done it. He was the CEO of the Yum Group, which if you haven't heard of, don't worry, but you will have heard of the businesses that it controls, which is the likes of KFC, Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, and more. And those businesses are often held up as the icons of people businesses, businesses that treat their people well, where the culture is really strong. So when I realized that there was a book by the guy who led those businesses, I wanted to read it. And I started off on Audible and I finished it on Audible. But halfway through, I realized there was that much gold in this book that I ordered the physical copy as well, so I could go back through it and take notes and highlight stuff there, because it's just been so valuable. I've actually recommended it to other people in our team as well already, and I'll be recommending it to more. And now I've just recommended it to all of you. So if leadership is a skill that you want to develop, then this is the book for you. I highly recommend it.
Well, there you go. A strong recommendation to finish off this episode with. And we'll be back with another episode. Of course we will. Next Thursday. It's going to be a good one as well. So make sure you join us for that one. And in the meantime, do make sure you get onto the portfolio waiting list at portfolio.co.uk because the countdown is starting soon. So until we see you next time, have a great week and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.